everybody, and welcome to Take a Knee. This is Pastor David. Well, it's interesting that Paul tells us that in the latter days, the love of most will grow cold. It's hard to imagine a world getting even more unloving as we have experienced it. And it's not to say that this is terrible times. In fact, I think we're still surrounded, for the most part, by people who can be caring and loving and kind when you can. However, if you visit different places of the world, or if you go to a certain city where we might go, where there's perhaps not a lot of love, a lot of concern for human life, you may think that you are living in the latter times that Paul was telling Timothy about. It's hard to ascertain. But I was thinking about our filters, and I want to talk to you about filters today. And what I mean is how easy it is for us to, as we get older or perhaps become a little jaded because of our political position or maybe your gender or the different things that the enemy uses to divide us. And there's a lot of them. And it really causes us to become, again, jaded and judgmental. And I really want to talk about that because I think for the church to really mature and to grow, we've got to get past some of this. And we need to do it quickly. Because for the most part, if we give into that, then we lose our testimony. We don't really have much to offer the world because we're too much like the world. But God has an answer for this. And when we think about what it requires in order for us to become more sensitive and more useful in the sense of being able to bring love into the world, I really wanted to start with one word. I really want to give us one word to kind of think about as often as you can think about it. And that is the word kindness. Now, from my vantage point, I've talked about age. And one of the things that I have observed is that as people get older, they tend to magnify their strengths and their weaknesses. We magnify those things. So whatever we were strong in life, we magnify those things as we get older. But we also equally magnify our weaknesses. So if we were somewhat of an unkind person, then sometimes that unkindness can become even stronger. Maybe as an older person, we become a lot more intolerant. And so how I connect this to filters is that depending on what your situation is, you have these natural filters that God has given us. And I'm talking about etiquette. I'm talking about being a person who can read a room or know when to say something that is appropriate or knowing when not to say something that is like being a jokester or to pull a prank or to say something that could be considered unkind, but yet you're really just making fun of somebody. So when it comes to these filters, and I'm not going to say it's just the aged, although I have noticed it prominently among those who have gotten older, is that they just seem to lose the kindness filter. They say things without really thinking, and they expect people to follow their jokes, when really it's like, I don't understand where you come from. I don't know. That seems kind of mean-spirited. Or even if somebody wants to come to you and tell you something that maybe you need to hear. Maybe you forgot to turn your lights on, or you forgot to turn your lights off, or you forgot to mention something as a detail, something that someone needs to know, like directions or whatever the case may be. And how we respond to people really shows our filter factor and what we're able to communicate to people in the way of just being nice or being tolerant, or as that works out, in being kind and giving people the benefit of the doubt. You know, Paul talks about this when he says, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. And so it behooves us to always operate from the kindness and believing the best in people. Now, this is a challenge, isn't it? Because we don't always know why people do what they do, say what they say. So I really want to speak to both sides of this argument or this discussion. I want to talk to those who may have issues with their filters, and those who react to people who have issues with their filters. And so to be a loving person, sometimes we have to bear with the failings of the weak. And as a person ages, they tend to become a little more curmudgeonly, rapscallion, you know, and they can get away with saying things that are kind of pushy or unkind or judgmental, all in the name of a joke. Well, I can say that because I'm older than you. I'm old enough to be your dad or your grandfather or whatever the case may be. And again, I want to speak to those who tend to act that way. The truth of the matter is that we've already been given filters. We've been actually given supernatural filters. When we think of our character and our development, the longer that we know Christ, over the period of time, we really should be growing to be more like him. Doesn't that make sense? The longer I've known him, the more I become like him. That doesn't always work out to be the case, because I almost could really do this bell curve. That yes, in the beginning, in our young 20s and 30s, and even our 40s, we're still on the upswing. But it almost seems like we hit an age where we begin in our brains to age, and our bodies age, our brains age, and we become a little less filtering. And so what do we do? I mean, if that is the case, if there's this bell curve, and also we begin to drop off, and as we become elderly, maybe we're not as kind. Maybe we say things that we shouldn't say, or we become more easily upset and get angry at young people or get angry at the government or whatever the case may be. But see, that really shouldn't be the case, should it? Because the character of God should really transcend our physical, our emotional, and our soul weakness. It really should. Now, I'm 60 years old, and I can say this as a 60-year-old person, that I have observed, and I can look at people that I have known, people that I rub shoulders with, and I've seen, as Solomon says, all of the things under the sun. And I've not seen everything, but I've traveled enough and been around enough people that where I see these dynamics at work. And so my real challenge is, you know, when we begin to come up short, it really, the thing that really is important is for us to rely more upon the Holy Spirit to give us what we need. And so I want to quote Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and following. Paul says this, by the Spirit of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. In other words, we walk in those things, the law, we're fulfilling it. There is no behavioral adjustment needed. If we're walking in that, we'll never hurt someone. We'll never take advantage of someone. We'll never lie to them. We'll never kill them. We'll never rob them, thieve from them, or take advantage of them. We won't. He goes on in verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Isn't it interesting that Paul would mention this? And so I get this sneaky suspicion that the church was struggling with this. That Paul is writing to Galatians and saying, look, you guys are biting each other. You're provoking one another. You're getting into arguments, and it's showing your conceit. Your selfishness is showing. So early church people, they didn't have a leg up on us at all. And so Paul is speaking to them to say, look, you got to stay in step with the Spirit. That is the goal, to walk in step with the Spirit. Spirit, where are you going? How are you walking? Well, let me match my cadence. Let me match my steps to you. And so he tells us what a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit is going to act like. He's going to give us these fruit of the Spirit, this evidence of the Spirit, which would also mean the lack of evidence of the Spirit if those things aren't there. So again, what does he say? Love. Generally loving people, a joy, a natural joy, a peace, forbearance, being able to not be easily provoked, kindness, just being generally kind, being good, being a good person who's interested in doing good things, faithful, to show up on time, to be faithful to your word, to be faithful to your membership as a believer in the church, to be faithful in your marriage, faithful to your children, faithful to your job. And then gentleness, being gentle, even in a tough, rugged world, that we're gentle. And then, of course, self-control, being able to not lose our cool when it comes to being angry or upset about those things. And you know what? We all do that. We all get angry. And it's interesting that of these things, we probably, each of us are different in what might be our weaknesses. You know, a person might be loving and joyful all the time, but not always faithful, and not always self-controlled. And yet you might have a person who's faithful and is self-controlled and has a lot of forbearance, but they're not very kind and don't always walk in peace and loving attitude. So we can all kind of dip in areas when it comes to these fruit and what ways we're stronger and maybe in less. So I want to give you some ideas. I want to give you some ideas of how you can be working on being a kinder person. Well, first of all, we need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, help us to keep in step with Him, to keep in step with His character. And so by just simply praying it, making it a point. You know, I learned something recently that was so very powerful, and I believe it's true. And it said that if you took a month, a whole month of your life, and you just, every day, you just say positive things about yourself, that you just, your self-talk is always like, David, you're great. You're going to make it. You're going to do awesome. You're smart. You're capable. You're a great leader. You love Jesus and Jesus loves you. God really is for you. I mean, if you just go through and you list all, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we just quote these verses and just speak it over and over and over and over ourselves, day after day, during periods of time in the day, that it will literally begin to open your life and you'll start seeing more open doors. You'll start seeing yourself acting differently. In fact, you're going to see it affect your self-image, your well-being, how you treat people, all of it. Isn't that amazing how powerful self-talk is? And prayer is a kind of self-talk. We're praying what we feel. We're talking to God, but we're bringing it to God. In fact, because God knows all things, sees all things, God knows what we're thinking before we think it and say before we say it, then prayer is really, in essence, just us declaring something that God already knows, already knows we're going to ask for. It's really more for us than it is for God. And so there is a transformation that takes place in our prayer and our self-talk. And so by asking the Holy Spirit to come and to make me a more loving, kind person is going to have an effect, not only in God answering our prayers and doing that in us, but it is walking in step with the Spirit, believing that these fruit of the Spirit are going to be manifest in my life. So if you're a person who finds yourself being negative and find yourself being easily discouraged, or you're letting yourself, that you're losing your filters of long suffering and patience, then really ask the Holy Spirit to help you get in step. Now, I'm going to share, to finish for our time here today, in sharing some practical ways that you can walk in kindness. So let's do this. Number one is just giving compliments. A genuine compliment can brighten someone's day, whether it's praising a colleague's hard work or telling a stranger they have a beautiful smile. These small gestures create positive connections. You know, this is a secular way of describing something, but giving compliments is blessing someone. It really is. It's blessing. And you even can say that. I like to say, people, bless you. Hope you have a great day. Pray you have a great day. Or as it says here, is giving compliments wherever you can to tell people that they're doing a great job, or that your wife's cooking is awesome, or your husband's serving an extra time he puts into making sure that the drains are unplugged and the cars are worked on and taken care of. So all of it, giving compliments. Number two, random acts of kindness. These are spontaneous acts done purely out of goodwill. And imagine paying for a stranger's coffee, leaving an uplifting note on someone's windshield, or helping an elderly neighbor carry their groceries. Just random acts of kindness. To start your day, to say, Lord, lead me. Help me find those random acts of kindness. Let me be loaded and ready to go whenever something presents itself, that I don't get too busy to be on the lookout for an opportunity to serve and to love someone, show kindness. Number three, listening with empathy. Sometimes the greatest kindness lies in lending an ear. When we truly listen to someone's joys, the sorrows, or struggles, we really validate their feelings and show that they matter. So listening with empathy, you listen with your eyes, you listen with your body language. You don't look at your watch, you listen. Matter of fact, looking at your watch is probably one of the worst things you can do when you're listening to someone. You know, having been a counselor for a lot of years, I'm trying to keep an eye on my time and yet not make that person feel like I'm trying to rush them. So sometimes what I would do is I'd put a clock in my office that was behind the person that is meeting in that room so that I could always see the time without having to look at my watch. And so that was helpful. I mean, I needed to be able to be prepared for the next person that was getting ready to come into the office. And so doing those things so you can be listening. But for the rest of us, you know, that you're not counselors, just listen to people. Listen to their sorrows. Point it out. One of the ways to show somebody that you're listening is by repeating back what they just said. That was always helpful to me when I was tired or I'm on my third appointment and I'm listening to something that maybe they're going into a lot of details and it's so easy for your mind to wander. But what I would do is as I would write it down, what I would do is I'd take a moment and to say, so what you're saying is that when you did this, 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 and this, you felt this way. See, that shows them that you're listening and it shows value and again, communicates empathy. Now that's again in the professional thing, but just by looking at people, by repeating what they have said, by telling them that you understand, by putting yourself in their shoes. Now be very careful when they do that, that you don't start telling your own stories because then they're like, oh, look, I was sharing this, you know, I don't want to hear, you know, what you're going through. Even though it seems like empathy, it's really just starting to invalidate their feelings. You need to validate their feelings by listening. Number four, volunteering. See, devoting time to a cause or a community organization really is a powerful act of kindness. Whether it's tutoring kids or cleaning up a park or serving meals at a shelter or volunteering, it really makes a difference. You know, anything that we can do to volunteer can really show kindness to our community, change that community. And how it references or thinks about not just you, but the church, about people in general. Who knows what kind of seeds you might be sowing? Number five, holding the door open for someone. It's a simple gesture, right? But it speaks volumes. You know, when you're holding the door open for someone, especially when their hands are full, I mean, it's showing consideration. It's showing respect. Number six, being patient. So, folks, we live in a fast-paced world, and patience is definitely a rare gift. So kindness may mean waiting patiently in line, understanding when someone makes a mistake, which they're going to do, and offering encouragement instead of frustration. You know, being patient really can open the door, looking at people, observing people, maybe under your breath, praying for people. Number seven, sending handwritten notes. In our digital age, you know, receiving a heartfelt letter or card is really precious. To write a note to a friend or a family member or a teacher expressing your appreciation, you know, it will be treasured, cherished. You know, I have a file in my office where I used to carry it, and I still have it, and I call it Read This Before You Quit. It's kind of before you quit file. And inside that, I keep letters and cards from people who have shared with me their appreciation for what I've done and how I've impacted their life in the many different ways. You know, now people send texts and things like that, but a card, doing something that way is the extra step, isn't it? I call it the kindness plus one or excellence plus one, taking that extra step. Number eight, helping a stranger, whether it's giving directions or assisting someone that dropped their belongings or offering a tissue or, you know, these are simple acts of kindness that we can do publicly. Number nine, celebrating others' success. Wow, that's a big one. Instead of envy or jealousy, celebrate others. Celebrate their achievement. Congratulate a coworker or a friend, whether they got a promotion or got a big raise or a gift or something. Cheer for them. They're your teammate and they've had a victory. And so we want to genuinely share in their joy. And then finally, being kind to ourselves, being kind to ourselves. Now, this seems a little narcissistic, but, you know, remember, kindness starts within. So you want to treat yourself with compassion. Don't beat yourself up. Don't use that negative language. Don't use self-deprecating words. Instead of saying, hey, you're going to do it. You're going to be fine. God loves you. He's for you. You know it's true. You know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. This mistake will not define me. I like to say, you know what? I'm not my problem. I'm God's problem. And so here I am, Lord. So in a world where negativity often dominates, it really does. It dominates the headline. Let's be the bearers of kindness. Each of the little act that we perform, no matter how small, it really does contribute to a brighter and more compassionate world. I really believe that, and I know you believe it too. So we can change this world, folks, by asking the Holy Spirit to fill us with kindness. Let's not live as unfiltered people. We've got filters, the filter of kindness. Let everything filter through that and watch your life, your relationships, even your opportunities change. I really believe that's true. Let's take a quick moment to pray. Father, I pray for everyone who's listening today that, God, we would be able to be that conspiracy of kindness. It is a conspiracy. The true conspiracy is the hate and the love of most growing cold. But Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would turn the world on its head by showing the love of Christ in us. So the people will then ask us, Lord, where did we get it? And we'd be able to tell them it came from you. So Lord, give us opportunities, open doors to practice these things and grow in kindness every single day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks. You have a great week, and I'll see you next time. Oh, and by the way, I hope you survived the eclipse. I know I did. Have a great one. Bye.